Hello and welcome to Hot Ones, except we don't want to be sued for copyright infringement, so we're changing the name of this podcast to Hot Buns. Effective immediately, the iconography for this podcast will be changed to a photo of Neil wearing hot pants. You're welcome, America. Hello and everyone, welcome back to the Gin Lounge. We have Neil joining us again. Thank God. I'm glad you're back, buddy. I missed you.
I missed you too, and so we're going with Hot Buns instead of Warm 2 to avoid copyright.
That's exactly it. So I hope you have your Daisy Dukes ready, buddy.
Oh, buddy, someone's getting scarred today, and it ain't me.
All right. So we were going over recent topics that came up kind of in the gaming press, and one caught Neil's attention more than others. I'm assuming it's because it's related to his Google search history. About China banning video game time for more than 3 hours a week for children under the age of 18. So why don't you tell us more about that, Neil?
Absolutely. First, listeners, I do want to take a moment to apologize on behalf of Vince and I for taking the break that we did. We had some technical issues and some medical issues to deal with. We are back and healthy as fat horses, so we should be back for a while. But on to China. So while looking through articles, that caught my eye because the different layers of what they're trying to do. So we've all had that parent who said, you play too many video games, I'm limiting you to X amount of time per insert time frame here. So now we have an entire government taking that role of, if you're under 18, you're only allowed to play 3 hours a week. And according to a report from Quartz, the time frames are 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That is it. So looking at it, we have to wonder, A, is this really going to help? B, why would you do this? And C, how are they going to enforce this? So Vince, what were your thoughts when you first saw the article?
Well, my first thoughts were exactly how are they going to enforce this? I know that originally they were allowing an hour and a half of game time on specific days. So I guess that was totaling up to a maximum weekly allotment as well, like 4.5 hours. I have no idea. But, well, one part of it was how are they going to enforce it? And the other part is if you start up a system that has an update available, and you're downloading the update, does that count towards your hour? Because that'd be really annoying. Like, the PlayStation 4 takes forever to install updates. And I know they're probably stressing more about, like, PC or cell phone gaming, because I know Tencent was the one railing against this the absolute hardest. But I would hate to, you know, start up my PS4 and it'd have to take 2 hours to install an update. And it's like, well, shucks, there goes all my gaming time this Saturday.
I think it is important to note that Tencent is involved because two companies got called in by the Chinese government to discuss this, one being NetEase, which for most of us Americans, we don't really see anything from NetEase outside of a MOBA game with Marvel. But Tencent, on the other hand, has a lot more to gain, being 40% owners of Epic, owning the Riot Games that makes League of Legends. Tencent has a lot of revenue to lose because of these crackdowns. So they, of all of them, might have more, I should say, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Sway for what gets passed and what doesn't.
Yeah. From what I understand, Tencent for a time was lobbying against the change, and now with China slowing down the approval for new games, Tencent also seems to be having difficulty dealing with that as well. Though when you have an entire government saying that your product is spiritual opium, I could understand having some difficulty coming to grips with that. Though, from what I understand, like, China is not Tencent's largest consumer base. Like, I think only 2% or whatever of gaming receipts come from there. So Tencent still has a lot more to gain through, you know, the Epic Game Store and places like that.
Yeah. One thing I worry about is, for us in America, it shouldn't be too much of an issue because of our laws, our registration, and how few of our games come from China. For the most part, we should be unaffected by this. Especially because they can still develop a game and launch it in America as normal, as opposed to in China where they have to factor in the playtime cap.
Right.
I just worry about a precedent being set for other countries to start watchdogging playtime, especially in some states or countries where they think that video games cause lower IQs or violence or insert whatever other completely unproven theory. I get a little nervous when I start seeing, and again, China always kind of marches to the beat of their own drum. I worry that we're going to start getting like Australian, American, EU politicians who think, you know, that's actually not a bad idea. I should try it.
Well, I think the U.S. tried overly regulating games in the past, and that's why we make fun of Jack Thompson to this day. I don't think there's exactly a fear of that in the United States when the current political climate is basically, hey, is unregulated industry going to kill something? Yes? Well, whatever, they gave me $50. You know, I'm thinking more along the lines of companies like Tencent, who are centered in China, or the, who makes Genshin Impact, MiHoYo? I don't play Genshin. You would think that that'd be, like, my favorite game, but I haven't even tried it. But, those companies might try rebranding what they're doing. They're like, we're gonna adapt our business model, we're not doing video games anymore, no games. From now on, we're going to be working on internet-enabled teamwork and social development software, and they'll release a game like Call of Filial Responsibility or something.
I could see NetEase doing that. I feel like Tencent would have too much to lose. Honestly, if Tencent isn't state-owned, I could actually see them trying to relocate out of country completely, because with them owning 40% of Epic, all of Riot, and any other subsidiaries they picked up, they can't afford to liquidate their control over games like that and still survive. League of Legends alone is probably a huge cash cow for them.
Oh, easily. And I remember that whole thing about trying to farm gold for MMOs and like sell it for a profit. It was really bad during Diablo 3, which, Jesus, that was eight or nine years ago now.
They had, dark like, times, my farm. Friend. Dark times.
But I'm still wrapped up in trying to figure out how they're going to enforce this kind of monitoring. Like, how would the companies know who's on what console and at what time? Like, I guess if you have an in-game name that's tied to your identity, so, like, you give whatever the equivalent is of your social security number when signing in. If they report that information to the government, then I suppose that would be a way of doing it. But maybe the only reason why I think that that's so difficult is because I live in the United States and no one cares about what they're doing here except how to squeeze more money out of me.
Well, one thing I think would likely happen... the Quartz article did mention that there were people getting busted for selling over 18 accounts to people so they could circumvent that law. My guess is when you go to sign up is if you put you're under the age of 18, that probably, if my guess would go into a database or some sort of program. And if that username or that file, that profile pops up as active on a time when it's not supposed to be, they know it's you and they can then fine and charge you, and they have people monitoring that stuff that is what makes most sense to me. Then again, I don't know how they're going to keep people from saying I am 18 unless they have to have, like you said, personally identifiable information, like an SS number, birth date, address, things like that, that can be verified. So I could see it being done, but it's going to be a nightmare that I feel like in the end, China's wasting a lot of time that they could spend doing other things. Just because I don't feel like an extra hour and a half of video games a week is causing the downfall of society.
Well, I mean, they clearly do because they called it opium, which is, I mean, that's the funniest part is that they called it spiritual opium. But what you said about the accounts makes sense if we think that they're tying PI, like personally identifying information, into it. So if there's PID attached to the account, that would make sense for how people got busted. It would make sense for how they're actually doing the monitoring, especially if they're being forced by the government to provide said information. I guess that would also prevent them from being able to play if they used a VPN. Though, I wonder if a VPN would be able to circumvent that in some way. I don't know. The only thing I know of is that apparently parents are willing to blame just about anything on like declining grades or academic performance on just whatever they can find, other than, I don't know, some kids are dumb. I'm dumb and I did very well in school, so really, I don't think that that has any bearing on things at all.
No, and I don't know if people really want to get into the socioeconomic problem of grades in schools.
And paint trips.
What I, you know, I don't know why they're doing this. I noticed a CNN article, China even tells Tencent and NetEase to focus less on profit, which, you know, it's not like companies need those to survive or anything. So,
well, focus less on profit would just mean you're not making all the money, you're just making most of the money. So I'm not gonna say that statement alone is not that big of a deal to me.
Well, coming from China, it means it could be a lot more severe.
Well, true. I mean, someone probably should also look at like Nestle and be like, hey, you should focus a little less on profit while they're destroying ecosystems overseas, though. You did say you don't want to get into socioeconomic factors surrounding other things, so I'll be quiet. We're talking about China, so it's my opportunity to be a commie, right?
I mean, like, we have different things to look at with an article like this. The good news is I don't see this sort of policy leaving anywhere China or China-esque. Anywhere that's anywhere in the remote zip code of a democracy is probably not going to pick up a ban like this.
Right.
Because
I don't think the slippery slope argument will really work here, because I do not see Western nations adopting the idea of you can only play a specified amount of times a week. If anything, the EU with its consumer protections would just add more things to prevent children from spending money in the games rather than limiting the amount of times they can play the games.
Yeah, especially because, as you've pointed out, it's such a hard thing to enforce, especially with mobile games. And again, like, kids shouldn't be on their cell phones in school, probably, but I don't see how cracking down on games is going to stop them from using their phone for other things. I feel like it's a misguided attempt to maintain, like, I don't even want to say like childhood innocence, but I mean, how many times, Vince, have we seen this? Like with the hot coffee incident, when Hatred came out, when the first person shooters came out, where games are teaching our kids X. They're ruining our kids by teaching them X. And if it hasn't been games, it's been music of rap causes murder, metal causes suicide. So I feel like this is just panic. Yeah, it's taking the we must keep our children like pure and untainted far off into the country of absurdity.
Well, and I think like if we start getting into that realm of discussion too much, we're going to start railing against your typical conservative think about the children type of protectionist rhetoric, which I guess we should stay away from that because I, you know, you don't want me to go off on a rant here.
Well, but that, that I think might actually be worth looking at just for the simple fact that because we have had some of that here in the U.S. over the years. And I mean, even recently, the last administration said that video games were, I forget the exact quote, but it was implying that it was ruining our children. It was teaching us to be violent. But we have study after study after study after study after study showing no correlation between this. And sometimes the inverse is true, where people who play video games are less violent. So it's one of those things where I think it is worth discussing for the simple fact that there's not any factual basis behind this. And I feel like people need to be reminded of that. If there is, I am unable to find a single peer-reviewed study that shows a correlation between people who commit violence and people who play video games.
Well, yeah, that's been thrown out multiple times over the years. And I did find the quote that you were talking about. It was actually Trump himself who said it. "We must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It's too easy for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately." That's apparently what he said in some remarks from the White House after the massacre in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. So, yeah, you're spot on with that. I just wanted to throw the entire quote out there because mentioning things about the previous administration commonly devolves into, no, they didn't do that. Well, there's the exact quote, so it happened. But that obviously didn't lead anywhere, though. So we don't have anything particularly to worry about on that front. And when you're looking to blame anything other than the actual root cause of a problem, you're going to find a scapegoat. And in those particular circumstances, he tried to use video games as the scapegoat. Jack Thompson tried to use video games as the scapegoat, specifically due to the hot coffee incident, I believe. I think that's what got his rise during the PS2 360 era, where he was constantly trying to say that video games are making children into sex perverts or making them more violent, and study after study has come out to show it doesn't really do anything at all. I play a bunch of fighting video games and I'm bad at them, but I'm not exactly a great fighter. I can't like dash up to you and do a 20 hit combo like Giovanna does, mostly because I don't have a wolf spirit, but you know, we're going to leave that off to the side.
You know, you would think that the, what was his name? Was it Jack Taylor?
I thought it was Jack Thompson.
Thompson. I misheard you. You would think that Jack Thompson wouldn't be blaming video games for turning people into sex perverts. You'd think he's heard of Cinemax at this point.
Very true. Well, the same people who latched onto his nonsense latched onto the idea that, like, you know, pornography is the absolute largest evil, and that'll turn you into a crazed serial rapist. Which,
yeah, I remember correctly, I think Columbine got blamed on video games too.
Yeah, that was one of the first instances of wanting to control video games. Because, well, I mean, that was so long ago that now I don't remember if that's around when the first Mortal Kombat came out and we wound up getting the ESRB.
Yay, but our favorite those, people.
Yeah, those things might have been related. Because they were looking for any reason as to why a child would walk into a school with a firearm and just start shooting everybody. And it's like, maybe because this endless culture of pressure and sticking kids into a situation where they have to constantly fight and compete and work against one another winds up forming an unhealthy and toxic situation where we're not really doing anything about bullies and telling children they need to deal with it themselves. And sometimes children are not known for making good or rational decisions. I'm just going to throw that one out there.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, it probably is, and it's probably not looked well upon, but I don't know, man. Like, doing anything about firearms isn't going to help school shootings nowadays. Doing anything about video games and movies isn't going to stop school shootings nowadays. We need to actually work on the culture itself, because playing Call of Duty, just in my experience, and you know, the children that I've been around while playing the various Call of Duty betas, all Call of Duty leads you to do is makes you more likely to say gamer words. That's basically it.
Or be mildly racist, in my experience, with people. Well,
the gamer word is the N-word.
Oh, man.
Like, whenever you say gamer word, that is code for the N-word.
remember the Halo chat rooms back in the day?
Oh my god, I got called every name under the sun, which was really amusing.
Yeah, so it's a toxic environment, but let's go back to China for a second.
I mean, I've never been there, but I've heard Hong Kong is lovely. And I've also been told that they own it. Not sure about that. This doesn't go to China, does it? Because I can't talk about Hong Kong or Taiwan then.
Oh, I don't know. If we have if we get some very angry letters or lawsuits, we'll know it got to China. If we end up issuing an apology a week from now, it went to China.
And I think they have limited internet access. Though I've never actually found out what their internet access is like. I believe it's like a gated, it's like a walled garden.
So
they can only access certain sites.
Yeah, and sometimes they ban certain words and stuff like that.
I wonder if they ban the gamer words.
If not, they probably should. So, my question to you, Vince, is I want you to make a prediction. Do you think China is going to go through with this crackdown? And if so, how long do you think it's going to last?
Well, from what I understand, they already had a type of crackdown on children playing games before, but I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 hours a week, and now they've cut it down to 30% of what it was, so now it's down to 3 hours a week. And there's not really any competing party or legislation. I don't see why they would change this. So, yeah, I totally think they'll go through with it, and I don't think they're going to look back. Even if it doesn't improve children's grades one bit, I don't see them changing it, because to undo it would mean admitting that you're wrong, or admitting that you made a mistake. And the whole concept of the strongman archetype, which they have that type of government, like it's a... it's the Chinese party, but they're authoritarian. So the authoritarian has a strongman, and the strongman cannot admit fault, even if the strongman is wrong. So if it would be undone, it would be a like a shell game. They would use some kind of other information to say, you know, this is unnecessary now, but this was a laudable success. Now we're going to focus on this other thing. That type of deal.
Yeah, that's where I see happening. I do see them implementing it. And I feel like 6 months or a year down the line, between companies like Tencent and some of their other tech sectors saying, you know, hurting us hurts the Chinese economy, I feel like after 6 months to a year, they're going to do their typical Chinese verbal acrobatics and say that, you know, we cracked down on childhood gaming and it has achieved this task. All of our students are now much smarter. Because of that, we're going to raise it back up to the previous levels and focus instead on this other target that's destroying our country and weasel out of it that way. But I feel like clamping down on their tech sector too much is going to hurt them enough that they're going to realize they have to reverse course.
Well, from what I understand, most of the money Tencent makes does not even come from China. And this is just going off of what I can remember. I think the rules of you can only play for an hour and a half a day were instituted 2 years ago. So they did that in 2019. Then in 2021, they're cracking down even more. But I don't think Tencent is looking for money. Like, they're not looking for more yuan to come into their coffers. They're looking for money from all of these other countries to flow into Tencent or NetEase or what have you, worldwide into China. Like, they're aiming to draw in other countries' money, because I don't have exact figures, but I'm pretty certain that spending among miners in China is, like, already abysmally low. Mm-hmm. And there've been tons of limits in place, so miners can only buy very little, which would make sense given that Tencent is absolutely insane with microtransactions. I mean, my word. Like, let me get a soapbox for a brief moment, because I tried out the beta for Pokemon Unite. And if I'm not mistaken, Pokemon Unite was by Tencent. Like, I think that was made with a partnership between Tencent and Nintendo. I'm actually going to... I don't remember explicitly, though. That's the only problem. But Pokemon Unite is just absolutely lousy with microtransactions.
Yes, Pokemon Unite was developed by the Pokemon Group and, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Taimai Studio Group. Taimai Studio Group is a subsidiary of Tencent Games.
Okay, so that explains how crazy the microtransactions are. Like, I enjoyed the beta of that so much, I wrote in it about my column, in the Save State column. Like, I had a lot of fun with it. I played around as Crustle. I played around as Scorbunny. I played as Gengar before finding out that Gengar's absolutely broken, but that makes sense because he absolutely carried me. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of this MOBA version of Pokemon. And then I never paid attention to the store because it was a beta. Who cares? Then the game fully comes out, and it's like, it has so many different forms of currency. In some of these currencies, you earn very, very slowly. And then you spend one currency to unlock costumes. You spend another currency to level up your items or, like, to acquire the items. And some of these items are just blatantly better than others. And maxing out particular items at low rank gives you a pretty disgusting advantage. Which... I discovered this after being like, wow, that's a lot of different microtransactions to spend money on. I'm going to take a moment and stop playing this. Like, the day before, that streamer, Moist Critical, was messing around in Pokemon Unite, and he spent $200 in microtransactions just to level up all the items, and he was going around, you know, 2- and 3-shotting people. That's gross.
That's insane.
Like, when normally the attacks he was doing should have been like 5, 6, 7 shots to kill somebody, he had cut the time to kill almost in half and was just running around and was like, oh yeah, you know, Pokemon Unite, totally hard game. Totally. It's, oh my god. Like, Tencent is, they do an immaculate job of giving you the incentive to spend a little bit of money at a time. Just absolutely fantastic. But when I closed that game on my Switch and I saw that video, I knew I would never start that game again. I don't know if they may have fixed it since then, but my word, there's so much to spend money on. I kind of just wish it was a full $60 game and everything was even. Because a child who lives a house down from me picked up that game. Like, he started playing on the Switch again solely because of Pokemon Unite. And he quit in frustration because one of his friends is doing so much better than him. Come to find out, his friend is now grounded because he spent way too much money off of his parents' credit cards to spend stuff on upgrades to do better than the neighbor kid.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, Pokemon is one of those properties where you can do an average amount of work, but you can just wring so much money out of people.
Oh yeah, it's the most profitable franchise in the world. And it has some of the most recognizable characters. I would argue that there are probably people who know what Pikachu is who don't exactly know who the red plumber with the M on his hat is. Like, when you're going over most iconic characters in gaming, like, Pikachu supersedes all of that because he's everywhere. And it's definitely one of those series where keeping up with the Joneses is something you want to do. Like, oh, you got this legendary. I want to get this legendary. Oh, you got a shiny? That's crazy. And then, you know, the kid spends time trying to get their own shiny. When it's something like that, it's cute because, you know, they're competing with one another. But it's in a very simple and non-toxic way. But then when you have one kid who, I mean, I'm not going to say that he respects his parents more than the other child. I know that the neighbor kid is super respectful to his mom. They have a great relationship, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know the other kid. But you have one kid who knows not to cross that line of spending like $100 on their mom and dad's credit card. And then you have a kid who doesn't know not to cross that line, who does it just because he wants to show up his friend all the time.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of gross.
It could be one of those things where he knew not to cross the line, but he did a cost-risk analysis and decided, you know what? Me getting all these Pokemon is worth the risk of me getting grounded for a week, so let's do this. kind of one of my brothers was like that. So, the thing, it's a good thing those kids don't live in China, because now they can only compete with each other for 3 hours a week.
I mean, I am wondering, though, if this ban is going to wind up reducing the number of Chinese bots in other games. That would be kind of advantageous to a degree, though I don't know if that'll wind up being the case, because those bots most likely don't have personally identifying information tied to their account. So they're also probably above the age of 18, being real.
I'd be interested to see how the black market for 18 plus accounts forms and its staying power, where kids are buying over 18 year old accounts and circumventing that. I'm interested to see if it works and how long it works before they find a way to crack that code.
Yeah, if that does work, because like they find out a way to not tie PID to it, that'd be incredible. But I mean, I don't know, man. When I was a kid, if there was a game I liked, I would get all of my schoolwork done. And I went to a private school, so they assigned way more homework than they ever reasonably should have. But I would come home, I'd knock all of my homework out, and then I would spend the rest of the evening playing a game. And when I was younger, we didn't really have a lot of opportunity to buy new games. Like, I would get one for my birthday, one for Christmas. And then if I did something super good, I might get one throughout like the rest of the year. So what wound up happening between the ages of, I want to say 11 and 15, is I played Final Fantasy Tactics like 2 times a year. Every single year, because I loved that game.
I remember I broke that game six ways from Sunday, too. I remember that I'd get about 2 games a year at Christmas. And if I wanted any other games, I would have to go trade them in to get other games. With the sole exception of another family member got me Fire Emblem Sacred Stones that I've beaten at least 6 times a year every year since it came out. So
that would explain how you remember all the characters from that Fire Emblem, and the only one I remember is Seth. Do not remember what the male lord's name is, and I don't care.
Ephraim.
Whoam?
Ephraim. Or Ephraim, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
That doesn't ring a bell. I think you're lying to me.
Well, after this podcast...
Who needs Ephraim in Seth Emblem? First and foremost.
Exactly.
Solo that game on hard mode with Seth.
Yep. Seth is a tank. So I was the same way where I'd get my homework knocked down, especially on a Friday. I start playing Madden Football Friday at like 6 p.m. and I wouldn't stop till I went to sleep Saturday at like 10 in the morning.
Oh, so I never did all-nighters like that, but the time I can remember that was worst for me, like just spending all of my spare time playing a game, was when I got Pokemon Gold. I played that so much over one summer that I went from no time in the game all the way up to 999 hours. Well, okay, that might be an exaggeration because that sounds like a lot of time for one summer break. But it was like 6 to 8 hours a day of playing on my Game Boy Color to make my perfect team. And then I wound up making my perfect team, but my Marowak was just a little bit too perfect. So when I would use a Swords Dance playing against one of my friends, and I had the thick club equipped, or the thick bone, whatever it was called, my attack, instead of going to the cap, actually did a stack overflow and rolled to the lowest number possible. So I'd start doing less damage than ever before, doing like 12 damage a hit, using my Marowak, because I made him too perfect. Then Pokemon Stadium 2 came out, and all was well, because they fixed that bug.
I know I'm glad, because I know Pokemon Silver was the same way for me. I'm just glad that we didn't have that sort of limit of 3 hours a week for 3 days, because I probably would have gone insane, especially when I lived out in the middle of nowhere, to where the best entertainment you got was stickball. Go outside, you hit a ball with a stick, you go after the ball, you hit it with the stick, and that's all you do.
I mean, I probably just would have spent more time drawing, which I guess would have made me more, it would have made me more productive. I should stop talking.
Yeah, I would have had the equivalent of staring at a wall, because we didn't even have cell phone reception out there. You had to do that thing where you pretty much had to stand on the roof, stand like a flamingo holding your phone up, and maybe the phone gods, if a cloud's part, you'll get one bar of signal to send a text out.
I didn't get a cell phone until I was like 16 years old. So.
That's when I got mine. 16. No, wait. No, I was 17 because I had to get my first job.
Oh, yeah. I had my first job at 15 and a half. Like, I got it as soon as I could.
So now that we've kind of gone off a couple topics, which is what we do at the Gin Lounge. We started a topic.
What was the original topic?
China's crackdown on under 18 gaming.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But that's what people love about the Gin Lounge, is we bring up a topic, but then we also talk about other things game-related, and it's natural, and that's why people, I think, love us. Maybe.
Oh, so I guess, well, since we're back on topic, apparently, out of all of the money Tencent gets from transactions, like microtransactions or what have you, only 2.6% of their gross game receipts in China come from players 16 years or younger. So apparently kids just are nothing.
Well, it, yeah, I mean, them with their lack of a stable income and no job.
Yeah, exactly. They'd have to get their parents to pay for it or, you know, steal their parents' credit card, which is a total thing that children do.
I feel like that, I feel like that's a stereotype, but like you think of, oh, the kid stole his mom's credit card. Like, you, I don't hear a lot of stories of kids actually stealing their mom's credit card.
I didn't either until this one. And it was very fitting that it happened with Pokemon. If they had microtransactions in Pokemon Gold, I wouldn't have made it till I was 18. I will straight up say that. I would have been beaten within an inch of my life, dude.
I would have, just for the fact my family was so poor, even if I wanted to spend money, I couldn't. There was no money to spend.
Ooh, that's very true, too.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. First show back, getting back on everything. So thanks for being patient with us, everyone. We are glad to be back. We're still going to be getting shows out to you every 2 weeks like we originally wanted to. We might have some special shows coming up. We have some potential interviews as well with other people in the gaming world. So we are excited that you guys are listening to us. And again, we always want to hear your thoughts and concerns and questions. You can email us at ginlounge, G-I-N-lounge at gameindustry.com. We're up and running. We'll try to get back with your emails as soon as we can. And you can listen to us on everywhere that you listen to podcasts. Definitely
like leave the place you're listening to now.
Yes. Leave feedback, get your friends to listen, leave feedback. Any way that we can engage you better, please let us know. We'll be more than happy to do so.
When a pregnant woman goes swimming, she becomes a human submarine.
There is Vincent's fact for the day.
That's it. See you, everybody.